Hillary. Couldn't satisfy your husband. Can't satisfy me. But you're gonna be the next president of the United States no matter, because you have a vagina between your legs.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, motherfucking moan, look for a safe space. Shove your opinions up your ass, that way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. I got a little confused there for a moment. But don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Go fuck yourself. Welcome to the Go Fuck Yourself podcast, produced by the Go Fuck Yourself Network, and I am your host, Mr. Go Fuck Yourself. No, just kidding. I am the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 11 fucking years. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile my intellect homes in on your destroy stupid motherfucking statist. All around the world. And you say to me, oh, but great one, I think you're an asshole. And I say to you, it doesn't matter what you think. Okay? Go fuck yourself. You are a statist piece of shit, and you can go fuck yourself. One thing about this cast, I spend a lot of time like yelling at the listener, talking about, you're a piece, you're a state. But of course, those people aren't listening to the podcast. That's the thing. It's like the only people that are actually listening to this podcast are people who at least somewhat agree with me, and then, you know, I've said it 1,000 times. That's an exaggeration. I've said it probably at least 20 times. Yeah, you don't have to agree with everything I say. That's fine. If you listen to the podcast, if you're entertained. Ultimately, the point of this podcast is, I've been over this before, but just because I feel like talking about it right now before we get back into picking up from the previous podcast, I'm going to go back to reading this. If you didn't listen to the previous episode of Stating the Obvious, this episode is picking up in the middle of something I was reading in that episode of Stating the Obvious, so you need to go back, listen to that one, or know what the fuck's going on. Right, the main reason I do this podcast is purely because I enjoy doing it. I don't have any intentions on greatness. I don't expect to make money from this. I'm not trying to convert people. I don't expect to become famous. I do this podcast because I just have a fucking fun time talking about statism to the microphone, reading this shit, and that's all it is. That's all it is. So if you listen to this, even if you don't agree with me, if you listen to this podcast, if you're just fucking entertained, that's more than I could honestly ask for. If you agree with me, that's fine. If you are over time persuaded by the things I say, or that's not even accurate, because as I've always said, I can't persuade people. Nobody can persuade you. Only you can persuade yourself, right? Only you can convince you of what is and what isn't. And although there's no such thing as is, there's nothing is. We'll get to that. That's in the show. Now, only you can make up your own mind, right? I can point you in the right direction, and maybe you could one day come to what the fuck ever. If you're here and you're listening to this and you're getting something out of it, whether you hate me so much that you're fucking calling me names and you're screaming and you enjoy that and you're getting fun out of that, you know, if you're making fun of me and it's just like I make fun of liberals and statists and social justice warriors and feminists, right? Or if you're listening to this and you agree with me, or if you're listening to this and you half agree with me and you just think, all right, motherfucker's funny every now and then, he says something funny. Or if you're listening to this and going, okay, this is how you don't do a podcast, whatever it is, if you're listening to this podcast and it's bringing any form of joy or enlightenment to your life, then that's good. You don't have to agree with me. Just be happy. Don't be such a fucking loser. Stop being a fucking status social joke. That's why I know that there are no feminists or femistatist or social justice warriors listening to this and getting any enjoyment out of it, because those people cannot get enjoyment out of life. That's why they are social justice warriors and why they are feminist. All right, I still have the same martini I'm nursing. I'm serious, man. This fucking 57% alcohol martini is kicking my fucking ass. Oh, and I am not just saying that for effect. God damn it, man. This is brutal. I have just cracked this bottle open. I have another whole bottle of this. I was all excited when I found this. I may have to go back to the fucking pussy 43% alcohol gin. This, holy shit, man. I'm getting old and fucking lightweight or some shit. Oh, motherfucker. God damn it. All right. Let's get back. Randy, what did I... Okay, in the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. She's over there looking cute, doing her thing. Today is August the 6th in the year of our Lord, Hussein Obama, 2016, where we all have free health care. I am the great one himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. You can send us an email at God, dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. And, of course, the website is CYNLIBSOC.motherfucking.com. Somebody should make... They should have, like they have dot... com, dot info, dot org. They should have dot motherfucking com. That should be a thing. I would buy cynical libertarian. No, I would buy I should check on that. I would buy go fuck yourself podcast dot motherfucking com. That would be the new domain name. Go fuck yourself podcast dot motherfucking com. All right, I just scribble a note there. And then I got to do that. Fuck. I really hate doing shoutouts. You guys, and you know, you motherfuckers. You want a bitch. Those of you who have never done a podcast, you have no fucking idea how much work goes into this. Right, so take your fucking whining and shove it up your fucking ass. You know who you are. Again, if the shoe doesn't fit, don't try to put your fucking foot into it, guys. But you know who out there. Fuck you. Dude, you have no idea. It's more than just recording the cat. We got to do fucking... There's a little bit of post. We got to upload shit. We got to do show notes. Got to get shit on the fucking site. You got to make sure it works. Fuck you. Go fuck yourselves. This is what I hate about you. People have never accomplished anything. And I'm not saying... Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people are above being critiqued. Oh, God, that reminds me of something I need to make fun of. I think I've got it on the list. It'll happen. I'm not saying I'm above being critiqued. But I'm saying when you critique me, if I look at who and what you are, like if you fucking critique me, and I cyber stalk you, and I see you have your own website, and you do a podcast, or you do videos, or you write blog posts that are more than 300 words on a regular basis, right? If I see you are doing things, that's one thing. But when you fucking critique me, and your entire existence is you've got some fucking 9-to-5 cubicle job and you're on Facebook. No, you have not done enough in your life. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you haven't done enough in your life to even be allowed to live. I would eliminate... Hey, here's a surprise. You may not know this. I would eliminate welfare and allow you to fucking starve to death and die because you're probably on food stamps. Or the company you work for probably only exists because either it gets government contracts or it was bailed out by the government. Okay? I would eliminate welfare. All welfare. the food stamps, the corporate welfare, the fucking tax breaks for all corporate welfare. All welfare. Personal, corporate welfare, defense, I would eliminate all of it. Let you starve to death and fucking die. Okay? So if your entire fucking achievement in your life is that you have a motherfucking Facebook account and a 9-to-5 cubicle job, don't fucking critique me. Do not fucking critique you. I mean, you can. But don't expect me to give a fuck. Don't expect me to care. Don't expect me to not make fun of you. Don't expect me to fucking flip you off and tell you to go fuck yourself. Because this is the Go Fuck Yourself podcast. To quote from Atlanta Progressive News editor Matthew Cardinals' programmatic statement. I had to dig all those words out of the article. That's why I was stumbling there. Here we go. Quote. Again, if you didn't listen to the previous podcast, you're going to want to fucking go back and listen to it to understand what I'm talking about. Quote, the premise of objectivity is literally to remove the observer from what it is that is being observed and simply to report what is. However, that is an impossibility. It cannot be done. In fact, there is nothing that is separate from the observer or multiple observers who construct and interpret what that reality is. One could argue that the only one who's really objective is God. And that is because God is omniscient and all-knowing, that is, if you believe in God. Now, the first way we know that there is no such thing as objective media is that we have no evidence, no examples of objective media outlets. If you find one, let us know right away. Every publication has an editorial perspective which shapes and constrains the way its reporters cover the news, which in turn affects the way its readers view reality. Unquote. Okay. The fact that all media entities are subjective does not mean that an objective truth doesn't exist. What it means is that humans, a media entity, be it magazine, newspaper, television, YouTube, website, whatever, a media entity is a construct of human beings. It is built by humans. It is humans. Again, reality. Reality is everything that is still here if all humans die. If every human on the planet Earth died, there would be no media. There would be no news, the physical newspapers would still exist, but the people who create those, who write the words, who create the information that goes in the newspaper, goes in the magazine, goes on the YouTube, goes on TV, whatever, all that would be gone. Media is simply people communicating to other people. People are flawed. I've talked about this multiple times. Gazillions would not be accurate. I've talked about this 20 times at least, right? We are humans. We are flawed. We have subjective opinions, we have our biases, all this other stuff. And all of these biases, these subjective opinions, so forth and so on, will be reflected in any type of media that any person creates. You're a news reporter, regardless of the format, magazine, you know, newspaper, print, internet, video, television, whatever, doesn't matter. You have your biases. Your biases are going to creep in to the information you present, how you present it, where you get information, what you report, what you choose not to report, all this other stuff. I mean, I have biases too. My biases creep in. I talk about statism. I make fun of it. And there's only 24 hours in a day. Okay, all of it's true. But none of this means that there's no such thing as objective reality. The fact that humans are subjective, that we are biased, that we are often slaves to our emotions. That doesn't mean objective reality does not exist. To continue reading, the writer says, if there is no objective reality, how can publications expect to affect how their readers view it? We quote again now from That's My William Shatner Impersonation. We quote again. Ooh, I almost fell over backwards. Fuck this martini, which I need another drink of. Oh my god. Oh, that is strong. God damn it. To quote again from Atlanta Progressive News editor Matthew Cardinals' programmatic statement, quote, most publications, including APN, do not regularly mix facts and opinions in the same articles. Okay, look, every news article is an opinion, right? The information I'm presenting to you right now is an opinion. You know the way in which it's an opinion? Because I have in front of me, well, not just, I have in front of me this magazine, which is 46 pages long. I'm choosing which information in the magazine to present to you. But I also have, I have behind me, like bookshelves, the ones I cleaned up that I talked about. They're covered in books. I have a pile here of stuff for stating the obvious. I have an internet connection. I have Webber. I have access to a huge amount of information. I'm presenting you right now with a very tiny... I am presenting you with a billionth of a trillionth of the information I have available is what I am presenting to you. And what I'm choosing to present to you is based on my emotions, my subjective feelings, my opinions. All news articles, there's no such thing as a news article that is not an opinion. This is the problem. I agree with him in the sense that there's not this... You can't do objective reporting. The reason where we disagree is he thinks you can't do objective reporting because there's no such thing as objective reality. I maintain the reason you and I cannot do objective reporting is because as human beings, it is impossible for us to be completely objective. Now, we can, to a great extent, be objective. Absolutely. But to be 100%, to be completely objective, for an extended period of time, right? It's kind of like work. It's like when you go to work, you should give 100%. Anyone who says that is stupid, right? You can go to work and you can give 80%. You could give 95%. You could give 100% for short periods of time, right? This is called being in the zone. You don't just do it at work. Sometimes I do it when I'm podcasting. You may be doing it, whatever, like say you like building engines or you play sports, whatever, right? You know what I'm talking about. You be in the zone. You're giving 100% time. We can be objective. We can be in the zone of objectivity. Sometimes, once in a great while, we can be 100% objective. But for a human being to be completely objective all the time, or even long enough to write one newspaper fucking article, no. It's just not going to happen because it's just not what we can do. We have biological limitations that prevent us from having continuous full access to total objectivity all the time. That doesn't mean objective reality doesn't exist. It simply means we, as humans, are flawed and cannot always access that objective reality. Objective reality. Hussein Obama, your Lord and Savior, your Messiah, murders people with flying robots, many of whom are civilians and children. Just because you cannot access that objective reality because you're busy swallowing Obama's cum doesn't mean that objective reality does not exist. It merely means you are a piece of shit and you should be exterminated in order to make the world a better place. Okay. Most publications, including APN, do not regularly mix facts and opinions in the same article. However, the perspectives of APN and other publications come through in other ways. Number one, their choices of what stories to cover and what not to cover. Number two, defining what a story is or is not in the first place. And number three, deciding how to cover the story. Number four, assessing what the sides are to be balanced. And number five, deciding how the sides should be balanced. Number six, deciding what facts to include and what facts not to include, etc. Now, I would agree with that. But again, this is my point. The fact that the people at this news organization, Atlanta Progressive News, make those decisions doesn't mean objective reality doesn't exist. This is my point. They are biased. To assert that, as he attempted to assert, that there is no is separate from the observer or multiple observers. No, it is. There is an objective truth separate from the observers. The author of this article goes, the author of this article writes this. Point number two being defining what a story is or is not in the first place. Point two is an interesting one, though the author, presumably Matthew Cardinal, he swerves between first person singular and plural throughout the screed, offers little insight into how news outlets frame context. The rest reads like notes from a community college journalism class. Back to quoting from the programmatic statement. Quote, "Now, most people's basic understanding of objectivity is balancing the sides. Most people's Most people's basic understanding of objectivity is balancing the sides. Okay, the first problem is that most people are idiots. So I'm thinking about this. Yeah, I think a lot of people would think that objectivity is balancing the sides. Balancing the sides is not what objectivity is. Objectivity is simply acknowledging the truth. Right? The Messiah, Hussein Obama, has murdered innocent civilians with flying robots. There's not a side to balance. That is an objective fact. Hussein Obama, he's half black. He's only half black. He's also half white. He couldn't even get being black right. He fucked that up. He is half black. That's an objective reality. He is an affirmative action president. He is the president because he has dark skin. That is an objective fact. He is the commander-in-chief of the military of the United States. Objective fact. He is ultimately responsible for the use of drones in drone warfare. That is an objective fact. Many of the drones have killed innocent civilians who were not terrorists. That is an objective fact. There are no other sides you can balance that with. There's no fucking balance. Now, most people's basic understanding of objectivity is balancing the sides. Okay, let's talk about the sides for a minute. How many sides are there? Well, there are approximately 6 billion people in the world, and to the extent that everyone's perspective is slightly different, there could be potentially 6 billion sides. So what journalists do is construct what they see as key themes or narratives that seem to define the major sides. Well, again, how many sides are there? What if paper A includes 2 sides, but paper B includes 3? What if paper C includes 5, but doesn't include 1 of the sides paper A included? What it means is, again, there is no such thing as an objective reality or objective news, and that all news stories are constructed. Yes, all news stories are constructed. I agree with that. There is an objective reality. When a fucking drone hits a group of people and blows up, or launches a missile at the drones that actually fly into them. When the drone launches a missile at a group of people, the missile explodes and those people die. Those people are objectively dead, you stupid fucking faggot fucking piece of shit journalist. This is the goddamn fuck. This is why journalism is a fucking joke. This is why Donald Trump says he hates journalists. This is why Donald Trump makes fun of you. You are this fucking stupid. Fucking Christ. To sit here and say there's no objective reality. No, those people are fucking objectively dead, you fucking faggot. You fucking goddamn fucking community college journalism majoring motherfucking piece of goddamn fucking faggot shit. Yes, there is such a thing as objective reality, you fucking moron. And the fact that this kind of person is the kind of person from whom the 99% get their fucking news and their knowledge and their understanding of the world, this is why the 99% are fucking morons. This is why we need to get rid of the fucking welfare, let them starve to death and die. There is no such thing as objective reality. I mean, how do you, and this is the thing. And this is why you can't, how can you, because there are those of you out there, again, I've been accused of preaching to the choir, and I am, because this is why I'm not trying to convert people. You can't bring to me, how do you argue, and I mean argue in a philosophical sense, not argue like yelling and shouting, right? How do you construct a logical, reasoned argument to persuade a person of something when the person believes there's no such thing as objective reality? I mean, you can do it with things like take a baseball bat and smash them in the face, and then when they say, you hit me with a baseball, well, no, I didn't. There's no objective reality. I didn't do anything. What are you talking about? But I mean, when somebody is so fucking stupid that they will say shit like, why should I get my cavities filled when they're small? I should just wait until they're bigger and they're really a problem. Or when somebody says something stupid like, studies have shown women are better at financial planning than men. I did a podcast about that one right? Or when somebody says something as stupid as, there's no such thing as objective reality. I mean, how? I'm asking you, how? I would love to like call Stefan Molyneux and ask him. So Stefan, how would you deal with somebody who said to you, "There's no such thing as objective reality"? I bet his first response would be to just fucking start laughing. It's like how do you deal with this? And more importantly, why would you deal with this? Remember, my friends, you are going to die. You're going to be dead one day. You're going to be gone. Look, guys, there's no God. There's no afterlife. I know it sucks. I want to live on in an afterlife also. I don't want to die, but we are biological organisms. We're the product of evolution. We're a fucking serendipity. We are a happy accident. You've got to, because enjoy your life right now. Because when you die, it's going to be like you've never existed. It's not going to be nothing, because there will be no consciousness there to perceive nothing. It will be non-existence. You'll just be gone. I don't even know how to describe it, right? It's extreme. It's super. You have to listen to the previous podcast to get that joke fully. Guys, you're going to fucking die. You're going to fucking die. When somebody says some shit to you like there's no such thing as objective reality, it's not just how do you argue against that. Why do you argue against that? I mean, I'm doing it right now because it's in the context of the podcast. I'm having fun. I'm making fun of this, right? It's going to go on the internet. You're going to listen to it. So this is a good question. You may say, well, great one. Why are you arguing against it right now? This is a legitimate question. I'm arguing against this right now because I'm doing the podcast. You're going to hear the podcast. And those of you who listen, you're going to get some entertainment value out of this. It's going to make you think a little bit. You're going to be like, oh, God, this is stupid. You're going to be laughing. You're going to be like making fun of this motherfucker like I am, right? That's a benefit to both. I'm having fun. You're going to have fun. But now if this cocksucking fucking faggot with his fucking community college fucking journalism degree was standing here in front of me right now and told me there is no such thing as objective reality, I would just laugh in his face and walk away. I'm not going to waste any portion of my life on a fucking moron who thinks there's no such thing as objective reality. It's like the people who think that they shouldn't get their cavities filled until the fucking cavity is a serious problem. I'm not going to dissociate, but I'm not going to sit there and argue with her. I mean, we talk about other shit too. It's not like our, right? So, I mean, if this faggot said this to me and we were, whatever, maybe we were, I don't know, we were doing something together. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I'd have in common with this piece of shit, Matthew Cardinal. But let's say we had some interest in common together and we're doing it, and he just says this to me as an aside, I would just ignore it and keep doing what we're doing. But I would not waste any portion of my life trying to convince this idiot that there's such a thing as objective reality, because there's no point. You're gonna fucking die. You fucking enjoy your life. Ooh, hang on. I'm looking out the window. The college kids are coming back. They're starting to drag back in a little bit at a time. College starts up, what, in a couple of weeks, right, Randy? Fuck. So soon all the little fucking college shits will be back, but the good part of that is that all the little college girls will be back, and because it's August, we have this whole new influx of little freshman college girls, and oh, they need sexual attention. Mm-hmm. They're away from home for the first time. They need somebody to slip them the cock. It's a tough job. Tough job, but this is why I have a rule that I always live in college towns, because 18-year-old college girls, yes. Anyway, let's get back to the article. The author of the article writes, "Sure, media news stories, like all narratives, are framed or constructed. Sometimes the framing brings the stories closer to objective reality. Sometimes it keeps them farther removed. How close it brings the stories to reality is a good measure of their effectiveness." Okay, final quote from the programmatic statement of Atlanta Progressive News editor Matthew Cardinal. Quote, "So, to review, there is no such thing as objectivity." Now remember, hold on a second. Remember, the reason we started all this is because the Atlanta Progressive News fired Jonathan Springsteen because he held on to the notion that there was an objective reality that could be reported objectively. But then they say that there's no such thing as objectivity. So they fired him for believing in something that didn't exist. I wonder if they fire people who believe in astrology. I wonder if they fire people who believe in chemtrails. I wonder if they fire people who believe in global warming or God. Anyway, just an aside. All right. To review, there is no such thing as objectivity. Some publications pretend to be objective, but they're not. Moreover, in our experience, objective reporting has really been used as a synonym for being sure to give priority to the corporate bourgeois ideology and making sure not to offend the powers that be. Seriously, most reporters seem to think the best way to show their objective is to marginalize the populist view and again give priority to the view of the power elite. Who knows why media outlets gravitate to the right? Some of it may be a capitalist conspiracy, and if you don't believe in conspiracies, please revisit your U.S. history. Oh my God. Okay, first of all, yes, the media, they're so right-wing leaning. Yet at the same time, of course the media kisses the asses of the corporations because the corporations are part of the state. Conspiracies, U.S. history. Now that Obama's the president, he's half black, he's the Messiah, can we talk about conspiracies like Building 7 falling down even though it wasn't hit by an airplane? Can we talk about the Tuskegee experiment, the extermination of the American Indians, putting Japanese people into concentration camps, sterilizing black people and poor people? I mean, what? Journalism. Yeah, this is 6 years ago, but nothing has changed. Journalism. It is, continues to be, and I suspect will always be nothing but a giant fucking joke. I just don't see any way around it. I don't see any way journalism can emerge from being a joke. All right. One last bit from Liberty Magazine right here. The Hidden Movement Towards National Land Use Planning by Randall O'Toole. Livability is the government's new code word for telling you what to do with your land. Planners have zoned 97% of my home state of Oregon as rural. In the least restrictive of the rural zones, you cannot build a house on your own land unless you own at least 80 acres. You actually farm it, and you actually grossed, depending on your soil productivity, at least $40,000 to $80,000 a year from farming, and in two of the last 3 years. Since they passed those rules in 1993, planners are proud that only about 100 homes per year have been built in these zones. Meanwhile, planners have drawn urban growth boundaries around every city in the state, boundaries encompassing less than 1.5% of its land. The remaining 1.5% is zoned for 5 to 10 acre lot sizes. To keep cities from sprawling, planners in several cities have rezoned neighborhoods of single-family homes from for apartments or row houses. The zoning is so strict that if your house in one of these neighborhoods burns down, you are not allowed to rebuild it. You can only build an apartment, row house, or whatever meets the minimum density of the zone. Again, isn't it nice that the government can dictate what you can build on your own property? Because, of course, you're free, right? You own yourself. You can do whatever you want. This is land of the free, home of the brave, all this shit. The government is not telling you what to do. You're not the property of the government. You can do whatever you want. Oregon planners have become so intrusive that they actually told a Portland church that it could have no more than 70 people worship at one time in its 400-seat sanctuary. Allowing more people to use the church, the planner said, would cause too much traffic congestion. Although this ruling was eventually overturned, another church in Oregon applied for a permit to expand and was told it could only do so if it promised to have no more than 5 weddings or funerals a year. These stories are examples of policies that are voraciously. I'm just making words up. Dude, guys, I'm telling you, man, this martini, motherfucker. I have like one swallow left. I'm not sure I can handle another one. The question is, do I try another one? Or do I know my limits? All right. These stories are examples of policies that are variously referred to as smart growth, compact cities, new urbanism, and growth management. I bring such stories up in order to alert readers about just what is at stake in debates over urban planning and private property rights. The danger today is that the Obama administration and key members of Congress are intent upon extending Oregon-style rules nationwide. At the present time, fewer than a dozen states, including California, Florida, Hawaii, Maryland, New Jersey, Washington, and several states in New England, have rules as strict as Oregon's. In many cases, nearby states have served as relief valves as people and jobs have migrated to less regulated areas. But if the Obama administration had its way, there will be no more relief valves. And it goes on. That's the only part that I have marked for reading. Which, all right, so I mean, you know, hey, I guess you can find the rest of that if you try hard enough. Liberty Magazine, actually in paper, no longer printed on paper. Liberty Magazine exists only on the internet now. It is, if I remember correctly, libertyunbound.com or is it .org? It's linked in the sidebar over on the website. I don't remember. Martini. All right, Randy, where the fuck are we on time? Let me pull this shit out of here. What do I got right here? And yeah, we're at what? 46. Fuck. All right. Can I? I don't think I can do it. Do I try it? Fuck. No, there's no way I can do that in 6 minutes, even though I want to. All right. Hillary Clinton is, it occurred to me the other day, the presidential candidate of alpha sperm. Women are going to vote for Hillary, not just because she has a vagina, but they're going to vote for Hillary because Hillary knows alpha sperm. She understands alpha sperm, right? She's married to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton is as alpha as you can get. I mean, the guy was getting blowjobs from interns in the White House while he was married. I mean, you don't get more alpha than that. Hillary is also the candidate who wants to bring in more alpha sperm, right? She's the one who wants to bring in all the Muslim refugees. And so women look at Hillary Clinton and they see, hey, this is a woman. She got the alpha sperm. You know, she married the alpha sperm. She married the alpha. She got the alpha sperm between her legs. She's going to bring in alpha sperm for the rest of us. I might be able to get some alpha sperm and then marry a beta male to take care of the alpha fucking child. Women are going to be attracted to the Hillary. They're going to be with her because she's bringing the alpha sperm. Women also, excuse me, my voice is on fire. My voice is dying. So what happens when I do two episodes right in rapid succession? Now, some of you are saying, but great one, isn't Donald Trump an alpha male?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Donald Trump is very much an alpha male. And you're saying, but great one, don't women want the alpha male? Yes, they do. Here's the thing, though. Here's the difference between the alpha offered by Hillary Clinton and the alpha offered by Donald Trump. What I'm about to say is brilliant. You're going to want to, if you're doing something, you need to stop right now and pay attention, because I'm serious, this is important. Donald Trump is an alpha male. Women are attracted to the alpha male. But Donald Trump himself, if Donald Trump becomes president, the only alpha male he is actually offering to the women of the United States is himself. He personally, Donald Trump, as alpha as he is, his sperm is not accessible to the multitudes of women across the United States. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, is not an alpha male. But what she is offering to the women of the United States is to import more alpha males, to import more sources of alpha sperm. So if Donald Trump becomes the president, you have one source of alpha sperm. Donald Trump, he's in the White House, Secret Service, he's got a hot wife, all this other stuff. The average woman does not have much of an opportunity to access Donald Trump's alpha male sperm. If Hillary Clinton becomes president, which she will, she is going to import via immigration all of these Muslim refugees. She is going to bring in hundreds of thousands of sources of alpha sperm. This alpha sperm, because there are hundreds of thousands of sources of it, and because it's mixed amongst the population, that alpha sperm is going to be accessible to the average woman. There's not going to be enough for every woman, but certainly there's going to be a lot more alpha sperm available than with Donald Trump as the president. And women understand this, and women are willing to take their chances. Plus, the Muslim refugees can, of course, have sex with more than one woman, yada, yada, yada. So if you bring in 100,000 refugees, I mean, they can give alpha sperm to, 400,000 women if each of them rapes or has sex with four women. This is one more reason why women are attracted to Hillary Clinton and why women are going to vote for Hillary Clinton, because they recognize Hillary is their best opportunity to get alpha male sperm inside their cunts. I don't bother with the other side. I'm always right. It's fucking awesome.